John Boy.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Shelby's World. It is Wednesday, August 12th, 2020. We are well into August. We are well into 2020. The year almost gone. What's up, Queen?
Nothing much, Queen. Yes, it is. How you doing?
I am good.
Wednesday. Oh, another Wednesday. Man, I can't believe, like, we almost, like, the 15th is what, Saturday? This month going to be over. We're going to be in the middle of the month.
The middle.
It's going by so fast. Oh, my God, I can't believe.
But it's going to be going by as fast as it's going. I'm just happy to say that we're able to accomplish things that we set ourselves out to accomplish. But it's flying by.
Most definitely. It is. It's going by. December will be here in no time. And we'll be embarking on a new year. And I will be turning 40 years old. Ah!
I hope it leaves by then. You can be celebrating your 40th in class.
What? Look, I want to be able to, like, my whole plans was to go out of town the week before my birthday for about 4 days and come back and have a party Friday night. That was my plan.
My kids,
well, Mom, may you probably consider that. I say, child, look, my health is more important than party. I need to be able to live to see 80, 90, and maybe, if God willing, 100 and something, if that's his plan for my life. But other than that, nah,
it ain't worth it.
No, it ain't worth it. And I can celebrate any other time, you know, turn 50. Turn 45. I just celebrate for 40 and 45. Just call me.
We'll make it happen now.
So, I'm telling you so. But I'm excited, though. I'm just happy to be alive. Happy that I made it to August.
Exactly. We're in August. We're going. It's still going. The year's still going for us. And it's not been a terrible year. It's just been so many things going on that we've not, it's just not, the new normal is different. That's what that is. It's just a different normal now.
It really is. But, hey, grateful is always key.
Right.
Grateful is always key. So I hope y'all listening audience, I hope y'all grateful. But I see a lot
and
of people.
And I hope y'all having a wonderful week. Yeah, people have been traveling. I mean, it's not completely slowed down people's lives to the point where they can't live. It's just certain areas are not allowing the United States to come to certain places. But people are traveling definitely within the country a lot, taking their kids on family vacations. And all I just say is, just stay strapped up with a mask and keep your sanitizer, wash your hands every day, all day. Stay safe.
Please wash your hands. Should have been washing your hands anyway. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. Oh, my God. See, people be like, oh, I got to wash my hands. They really would. People will be surprised how many people out here weren't washing their little stinking hands. Coming from out the bathroom in public places. He was talking about, well, if you at home, I said, I don't care if you is at home. You need to wash your hands.
Right.
If you saying you at home, don't come to my house going in my refrigerator. That means you just came from the bathroom, you ain't washed your hands.
Correct.
That's nasty. Mm-mm. Ain't got time for that. No, ma'am.
Well, I just hope people are doing more of it and they're more concerned because with so much going on, it's easy to get sidetracked. So I just hope people stay focused and are concerned. And that's why it's kind of unbelievable to me that we allowing little tiny children to go back to school.
Yeah. Especially little kids,
because,
you know.
Hell, if grown people forget to do the grown people forget to do the bare necessities, how do you think he is gonna be?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We got to see. Gonna be something. Something, but I think some of these kids are excited even though they know they're going to be at home.
Yeah, they feel excited. Some of them are ready to be back in. Yeah.
But it won't be no sports happening. So, Queen, what's the what we got for the day?
Well, you know, we got our fact of the day. Did you want to go ahead and do the sponsor thing or you want to come back to that at the end of the show?
Oh,
how
yes.
You wanna...
Sponsorship. Well, guys, you know, we always have one of our big sponsors is Shelby's Bistro. Make sure you check out Shelby's Bistro on IG. Shelby's Bistro, they do everything from catering weddings, parties, they travel, anniversaries, graduation, Shelby's Bistro. I'm just me personally to myself. I will toot the Shelby's Bistro horn. She is the best. So make sure you check out Shelby's Bistro on IG. You know, let her come out and cater for you and stuff. You know, you're going to love her food. She got delicious food. But check out Shelby's Bistro on IG, guys. And also our other sponsor is JQ Couture. The essence of beauty and fashion and all of that good stuff. She can make you look good, beautiful, make you feel good, all of that stuff. You can check JQ Couture out on IG as well and also on Facebook. For all your cosmetic and wig and fashion needs, check out JQ Couture. And our sponsor, our creators, our everything, like Shelby's World Podcast will not be running on, live or screening on podcast networks if it wasn't for Freedom Train. Freedom Train Radio. Shout out to Joe and Patrick. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring Shelby's World Podcast. Make sure you guys check out Freedom Train Radio. They have all type of good other shows on there, other podcast shows. And they also have a flyer out that we've been sharing about sponsorship. If you want to get your business on our different podcast shows, we can do that, you know, for advertisement. So make sure you check out Freedom Train Radio. Shout out to Patrick and Joe. And also make sure you go follow Shelby's World at IG as well. It is @_ Shelby's World on Shelby's World Podcast on IG. And thanks, guys, for just tuning in and being a part of our show and what we got going on. We appreciate all the good feedback and everything. So make sure you go follow Shelby's World Podcast on IG today.
Yes.
Shout out to our sponsors.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for always doing that. You've giving us a whole lot of clout, and we need that. Appreciate that. Because we do our best and we do our thing. So our fact of the day and our quote of the day are always kind of parallel to each other, so we're going to keep that going.
If you want to come behind you and try to open it, they're going to see whatever services
you So today, our fact of the day is the Windy City name has nothing to do with Chicago's weather. They were referring to the fact that its residents were windbags and full of hot air.
Wow.
Say that. What? I knew you were going to say that. Okay, so it says that. It says that the Windy City name has nothing to do with Chicago weather. They were referring to the fact that its residents were windbags and full of hot air.
Wow.
So So I find that it could be quite interesting because we always thought, well, I don't know if people, you know, until people realize what the perception of that was,
mm-hmm.
we pretty much looked at, you know, Chicago as being the windy city due to the wind. You know, but as you dig a little deeper and you realize five things, you notice that it absolutely had nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally about the people there, their attitudes and how they were perceived by their own residents. So, you know, residents and citizens of Chicago felt a certain type of way about some of their residents, and this is what they came up with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. I was like, wow, it's wonderful to know that you can always find out what something really means. But I think sometimes it's disappointing to find out what
mm-hmm.
things really mean because it's like, oh, my goodness, I would have never thought that. Never.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I laughed at that one a little bit. I giggled. And our quote of the day is coinciding with that, is be careful. Not all are what they seem. Some people pretend to be the beach, but they're actually quicksand. Steve Marabalo.
Wow.
I like that.
It's different. I just be like, where you be finding these things at, Queen? Like these quotes and everything, like. That's amazing. I like that, though. Oh, my God.
Well, the reason why I chose a fact of the day and the quote of the day regarding perception is because we're gonna discuss perception versus reality today. And I wanted to kind of have a little bit of influx and some example of how perception is versus the reality. We perceive
mm-hmm.
that Chicago's the Windy City thing came from the fact that it's windy. We perceive that. But the reality
yeah.
is that it has nothing to do with that. So I quote, you know, then same thing. We can't perceive, think that something is the beach, but they're actually quicksand. So we're going to discuss today, on today's show, that the perception of what is going on in today's society versus the reality of what's going on. And I'm going to start off with giving an example of how things are. So I was watching a documentary about how Black people have grown in television. And
mm-hmm.
we started off basically having really minute roles or no roles at all to being the people who are talked about in funny manner, where we were just either servants or entertainers on television, so we started getting leading roles and things of that nature. So the perception of those that Black people ended up growing in television. But the reality is we've still never been looked on as equals in television.
Yeah.
Because there are still times that we have to be the character in the show. We always have to do something that's demeaning to our culture, to our race, to us as a person, to be funny in sitcoms and stuff like that. Or we're very
yeah.
Forgiving and, you know, things of that nature. And it's shown in television, regardless of
yeah.
what we perceive things to be. So I thought that today's show could definitely, we can have some, discuss some context on what has been perceived in this time versus what is the reality of what's going on. What do you think about that, Queen?
What has been perceived, talking about what's going on like now?
Mm-hmm. What's been going on with, you know, during the pandemic.
The pandemic.
Yeah. What's been going on with the culture,
God.
You know, things of that nature.
We always able to come together when it's, I don't want to say bad, but I guess really that's when it is, you know, like, We always come together as a culture. Even in even culture as a, I'm gonna say as a whole, as people. But even in our community, we always end up coming together. I wish we would come together and support each other more without tragedy and pandemics and different stuff like that happening. Because now I see a lot of people trying to, especially black-owned, everybody want to patronize black-owned businesses now more than I probably been seen in the past. But I'm like, we should have been patronizing our black-owned businesses. Like, why we got to go through this for us to, well, for some to realize that they need to actually support black-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that kind of that. Now that me, because especially me being a business owner myself, that aggravates me because I'm like, you should have been supporting black-owned businesses. I don't care if you white. You should have been supporting black-owned businesses as well. But, you know, more of my people should have been supporting us as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the only thing that I don't like. But, that, like I said, we always come together when it's tragedy and stuff like that. But I'm like, what's going to happen once all of this is over, said, and done? Are we going to go back to normal? Are people going to go back to normal, their everyday living like they was living before, which really I don't think you really can go back to what it – we'll never be back in January. I'm going to put it like that. We'll never be back in January of 2020, like never, ever again. It'll never be – we're going to get back to normalcy, and but we'll never be like we were before up until where we at now, but – It's crazy, boy. It's crazy. But I will say that I have seen more people, as far as family-wise, people that I know spending more time with their family. And it is because we home in the house. You're really not going nowhere because you you're using wisdom with what's going on with the virus and stuff because you don't know who got it. We might be, a lot of us are asymptomatic. So, you know, it's just, it's a lot, but I see better on the other side. That's just because I'm being open-minded about everything that's going on, especially when it comes down to our culture and the whole, I don't even like to use the black term matter things and stuff, but I do see better for us in the long run. But people have to really take advantage of this time and this opportunity that's, I say, this open window. I've been saying this open heaven that's opening because it's time for opportunity. There's opportunities out here that you can really get now, especially when it comes to business owners and stuff like that and people that have business ideas that want to actually start their own business. And I have seen a lot of that too. So,
A lot of people have been jumping out there, getting businesses started and doing some creation and making creative moves. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think my stance on the perception of things versus the reality is that we have started to sit and perceive that things are okay or things because we as a person or as an individual are doing okay, that things are okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that things all over this country are in turmoil, and there are a lot of things that are never going to be back to normal for people at all who've lost their jobs and who have had to either move back in with family members due to not having this and not having that. So I do think that we kind of perceive that things are okay and that things can and are getting better for us on the horizon, but we do not know where things are going, and we've never had the instinct to see beyond today of what's going to happen to us. However, we've always had some type of hope or some type of expectation that life will be okay. And now, you know, people are in a real hard up situation. A lot of people are just not able to do anything. And some people have lost faith in the judicial system lately even more. Some people have lost faith in the medical field lately because, you know, things are happening to the point where people, family members are dying and people can't even see their family. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of negativity going on that we are perceiving to think things are okay. But the reality is that this country is going through a lot of turmoil. And if we take a few steps back and look at some other things of what we perceive to be okay, and, like, I think for one thing, I think Black people, us as a culture, we're very, very comfortable with a little bit of advancement with how the government and the country sees us. And I have a problem with that because I do believe that we as a people have advanced and done things for ourselves individually. But as a people, we're still somewhat in the same hot water. And we're still trying to pull our way out of a bucket that's not meant for us to be in. So I think we do have a lot. We've gotten far, but we still have a lot more to do. And until we get some judicial changes, this country will never be right for Black people. And I don't. No. And to me, that's on every level. I don't care what we do individually to create generational wealth for our own kids and our own families. But if the world still stays the same and still look at our families and our kids the way they look at them, money ain't gonna never mean shit to a Black, to you when you're Black. It's because you still Black. That's all it does to this country. And that's the reality of things. We have to remember that in order for us to move, we have to move in collective forms. And we're still not doing that. So I do have a lot of worry about where we're headed in this country as a people, but it doesn't take away my hope. But I definitely have some worry for it.
Can't let it take away your hope. Sure can't do that. Especially when we got these kids, our own kids. They looking up to us and what we got going on. Like, okay, what mama doing? Like, let's look at what she doing. So that give them hope and want them to thrive for what, you know, for better and what they trying to do and stuff. But it's just...
That's right.
It's a lot. But we got that strength, boy, I tell you, especially Black women. We some powerful and strong women. Lord have mercy, we some powerful and strong women.
We really are.
We carry, we truly carry our family. We truly
and
carry
on our
back
family.
Too. Yeah. And we ain't just carrying, we carrying our family, we carrying the, and not just like the family that live in the house with you. I'm talking about like some of us carrying our whole family from our parents, siblings, grandparents, nieces, nephews, even some cousins and aunties. So it's a lot.
Even
it
families
is truly
that,
a lot. Extended families that not even really, you know, that you just call family.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot more. I can say that people have started pulling together a lot more because you have to spend time with your family. And having to be in a space where you have no choice but to get to know the people you're dealing with. It's so many people that are learning their children. So many children learning their parents right now. You know, I think that type of influx is always good. But then I also think about the fact that because you didn't know your children, there's a lot of neglect and hurt and torrential damage being done to some of these children who are home. So
we
just gotta be more wiser to what's happening to our people. Be more open to understanding what's going on with people outside of our homes, and because we don't all live the same. So
that's
it's
true.
A lot.
That is so true. We all live differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we all
which
live
makes
differently.
Us unique. That's what makes us unique, for one.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And I love it. I love the uniqueness.
I love it.
Even working, even with doing my nursing work, it's funny because one client that I used to have, her daughter used to be so fascinated with when I come in and with my hair. And I don't change my hair as much, but when I do, she's just like, I just wish I was able to wear the braids, to wear it straight, wear it natural, wear it curly, wear the extensions that y'all be wearing. Like, I just wish I was able to do that. Like, but she was like, I'm just not able to do that. She was like, it is just so unique seeing y'all black women and y'all different hairstyles, and they are very unique and nice. And she said every time she used to see a black, she's like, I just love her hair. And it just was funny because they really do admire our sense of style, our sense of dress, everything.
Yep.
But
really
she
do.
Used to be so fascinated with my hair.
Yeah. Some of them envy it, but it doesn't change that the reason why they envy it.
It doesn't at all. It's something though. But so I always say, man, be happy for who you are. If you black man, be happy with who you are. Like you we stand out.
Every day.
Stand out. Like, look, it could be a lot of people in the crowd now, but you're going to be, if you could be a whole bunch of Caucasians, Indians, Mexicans, all that want, you going to stand out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You will stand out. All eyes on you. All eyes on you. But you got to love who you are in the inside to realize that, though, and some people don't. Some people really don't. But you have to really do love who you are on the inside to actually get it.
You know, and I think a lot of that is not being taught. Like, that self-love and stuff, you're taught that from birth. So
yeah,
when a kid or people going through so much, that's another reason why I feel like if you're having children, definitely be ready for that. Don't put yourself in a position to where having children is going to slow down how you are as a parent. Because if you don't have time to be a parent and you don't have time to learn your kids and learn who they are as individuals, you're going to be a bad parent.
Yeah.
Because
that's true.
We know that kids require attention. And plenty
a
of
lot.
You know what I'm saying?
So, a lot. And some more than others.
Some more than others. And some less than others because of the fact that some kids are very, very independent children. But that doesn't mean, me and my sister were having a conversation about that. And she was like, she said, you know, your older child reminds me a lot of you with her independence or whatever. She was like, but look, with her reminding me so much of you, I hope that she don't ever feel like, because she's so strong, she don't have to talk. I said, oh, no, it's not allowed with me. I said, because I know that's the difference between how my mom was. But she said that it was just like mommy know how strong you is. So there are a lot of things mommy won't check on you about. She probably won't even check on you for a week sometimes because she know you don't need her. You okay. You self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you don't need that, you know, your mom to check on you. Feels like I've always said to mommy, why do you put Danielle in this strong bubble and then she all alone? Because she doesn't, just because she feels strong, that means that she's always strong. So that's the same way I feel about my child. I know she has a whole lot of my ways, but I always let her know, sweetheart, I don't care what's going on with you. And my open door policy is on everything with my children. I don't care if y'all got a bump on your boob. We need to talk about it. But that open door policy is on everything. Whatever y'all need to talk about, I'm here. I'm not judgmental because I know what it's like to have people side eye you about your thoughts how you feel. So I don't, I'm not that way with my children. And I give them the whole mentality of living as, because I'm not that parent that do as I say, not as I do. If I show you something, I got to think that you might have the notion of trying that. So you got to be honest and real with your children. If you don't want them to look at you a certain type of way, don't show them that. Don't show them that person. If you don't want them to see things that you do that may be out of line, don't show them that. Because what you allow kids to do is to turn around and turn those tables. When you give kids the influx of, oh, you be teaching us not to do this, but you do it, you ain't being real with them.
That's true.
You telling them don't do it just because you don't want them to do it. You ain't giving them no reason. Not if they see you doing it, and they see you all right.
You got to be truthful. And my mom was like a open book when it came down to me and my brother. It's a lot of stuff that I knew growing up that my friends didn't know. Stuff that I even knew about their parents, because my mom just talked to us about different things, especially if we had questions. And really more of my brother had more questions than I had questions, because I'm still the same today. I don't ask too many questions. And then it depends on who it is and what it is. If I want to know or not, some stuff, I just be like, no, it's best for me not to even ask no questions. But my mom was an open book more than a lot of my friends' parents were. Some of my friends' parents was very strict, very churchy and stuff like that. But my mom was the youngest of she's the youngest out of six. So she was one of those ones that experimented with a lot of different stuff. She was the baby, but you know, she had these older siblings that her oldest brother, he was in college when she was still probably like in middle school or beginning of high school. So she hanging out with college students, and my dad was older than my mom. Like, he had been chasing her since she was middle school. He in college. So, it's a lot, but you got to be honest with your kids. You got to be open with them. You got to let them know what's going on. You know, sometimes I know it's some stuff that you ain't going to just be that open, but those kids have a lot of respect for you when you are open and honest with them. A lot more respect, because that give them, they be so comfortable when you just sitting there. I can even say with me and my kids, just sitting around and we could just be talking about stuff. Now, it's certain stuff that they just ain't going to ask me, because they just like, oh, we ain't finna ask more of those mess. But then it's some stuff that they just sit here, you know, you ask them questions, they don't hesitate to tell you. And it could be personal stuff that some kids don't even tell their parents. But when you have that relationship and you didn't develop that foundation with your kids about, look, come to me, be honest. I'm still your parent at the end of the day. I might say something, but, you know, you don't know what I'm going to say if you don't come to me and tell me and let me know what's going on. I might say what I need to say because I'm still your parent, but I might just sit there and let you talk and don't say nothing at all. Now, I might come back some weeks later after I done sit down and thought about what you just said to me and be like, well, you remember that day we had that talk and you said such and such, but it didn't really dawn on me until now. So I just need to come back and talk to you about what you said. But, you know, all of us different as parents. Everybody's upbringing is different, but I always base how I raised my kids is how I was brought up. And I knew what I wanted to do different when I had my own kids. And I took some of the same principles that my grandma did with her kids and that my mama did with me.
Correct.
I implemented my own. I think we just talked about this one time before that I didn't. My mom was not a parent that always say she loves you. Like we don't really say that, but me and my kids, that's like an everyday. It's like just saying hey to each other, you know, like especially with me and my son, like.
that I could just be going outside, like, all right, y'all, I'm finna go work out, or I'm finna go to the stove. Rashard would be like, all right, Mom, we'll see when you get back. I love you. It's just like normal to us.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like every generation different. Every generation is different, but hey.
Yeah, my mom, I can see that happening because my mom wasn't very, I love you, I love you, I love you. But as we got older, and because we're I love you people ourselves, she came on. Like, she started picking up on it because she tell her grandkids that often. Now, if we get off the phone, she's more in depth to say, I love you now. So it grew on her because of the type of people we were as well. Her children.
Yeah.
But I'm very
every generation things change. Mm-hmm. Every generation. My grandmother was a strict parent. But when it came down to her grandkids, she was strict with us, but she was very lenient with us than she was with her own children. And the same thing with my parents, looking at them how they do with my own kids and how they are. Versus how my mom was with us. My mom, she kind of the same. She kind of the same. Because me and her, when it comes to my kids and discipline them, she ain't taking no games. Some grandma would be like, mm-hmm. I'll leave them turn on. She be like, you better listen to Candace. Don't let me have to come over there and choke you out myself by my child. Because Candace still my daughter. You just my grandchild. But if you don't
That's
do what
right.
my child
That's
tell
right.
you to do, I'm coming over there. Versus
my
kids,
grandmother
other
was
grandparents.
Like that with my mama. My grandmother was like that with my mama all our life. Where she's like, and I used to think that was an issue. Because growing up, you know, sometimes I used to just wish, dang, my mama can't just be a mom and handle her own house. She always got to call somebody else. But mm-hmm. it was always my granny. So my grandmother had this demeanor about herself that she still has to this day that's very mean and very mm-hmm. disciplinarian. My grandmother has never showed us any ounce of love in our whole lives until now that she's older, and I do stuff for her on a regular basis, so I'm going to hear now. I love you, girl, a lot more now, but we see a loving grandmother. So we knew not to play with my grandma. We knew she was strict. We knew that everything about her meant don't do this, don't do that, or I handle you. We never saw anything else other than that because she was she the oldest of like 15 kids, too. So she alone had reasons for why she was no nonsense, zero tolerance, because she's been, you know, she's always been that way. But
and she probably was the one that was helping raise her siblings. So she almost her whole life.
Well, no, because I can't say that but I do know that she was more in tune with the ones that was around her age.
Gotcha.
And because my great-grandmother and great-grandfather had kids in blocks. Like, so you had maybe three or four kids in this block that was all connected in age, and maybe 3-4 years later you got other kids that's connected. So all of them grew up in their own little block. And
gotcha.
My aunt, which is the youngest, My grandmother is in her 80s, and her baby sister is in her 50s.
Mm.
So, exactly. So, you know, and during those times, it's a lot more that was going on. Like, my granddaddy had a whole nother family. It's like four other kids outside of the house. Along with his 15 or 16 kids. So I don't even know all them people. It's so many. You know, because everybody don't always come to family reunions and do all that. But that's why she was so deep on her being who she was until we always just saw her as this mean-ass person. And my mom totally different from her, but my mom is just like her as well, if you get that. Because my mom is different with loving her grandkids. She's very much so, she's way more tolerant than my grandma was. You couldn't even walk in my grandma's living room. Like, my aunt, her baby sister used to say, This why we don't come visit my sister, because you can't even, you're not going to fuss at my kids by walking through the living room just to get to the kitchen. Baby, we knew better. I'm telling you, that's how it was. So, you know, to have certain, you know, so I knew that there were things that I saw that my grandmother did that I was going to do when she, you know, growing up as well. Same thing with my mom. I knew there's certain things that how she raised us to make me know that, you know, we're going to, it's okay. We're going to, this is how it is. You can take this from me. You can leave this. But I'm a, regardless of the fact that this is what is how it's going to go in my house. Because I'm big on being a disciplinarian, but my disciplinarian actions are not always about, and now these days I don't even whoop my children. So, but our disciplinary actions are definitely different now because,
I said it's all taking phone, can't go nowhere. They rather, so kids be like, man, I'd rather for you just go ahead and give me a whooping. And they
girl, that's Jada's saying right there. Jada's saying, can you please just whoop us? No, because I know that's the easy way out.
Yeah. But taking those interior things that they're like, what? Man, look like somebody was out there killing you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But you know what? That's the difference, too, because even though my mom could speak to us and we just be like, oh, Lord, like, man, you know, mom don't play like, ain't got time to be here in one neither mile. But vice versa with my kids, that's my tone of voice. Even my husband's tone of voice with his daughter, he just speak, and they crying, boo hoo crying, and really that's all five of the kids in tears. I could just speak to Zoe or Rashad, even Zoe now. Zoe's 19 years old. But Zoe don't, my mom always say, Zoe don't like for her mom. Them turned on, especially Zoe. They don't want you to be mad at them because they know it.
They don't like
goodness. They ride here like they scared to come to your house. But I'm just like, you know, I didn't try to put fear in them, but I'm just like, look. I just ain't finna take no, I'm not finna play no games with nobody, kids. And it really, it even irks me to be around people that don't have that type of, I won't say control over their kids, but they kids just all over the place. And I be wanting to say something, but I have to catch myself like, man. Because I be wanting to say, if you don't sit your ass down somewhere, did you hear your mama say something to you? But I know I can't talk to everybody's kids like that. Because people get offended and people will get upset.
They do.
When you just
and I mean,
trying
you
to
just
discipline
look at a kid
help
wrong them. These days and they and the mom and them upset.
I'm telling you. But like I always tell people, you see Zora Rashad out there doing something, even Kia Nana Ty, you see them out there doing something, say something to them. And I definitely want them to get smart back with you. Call them after you said something to them.
Yeah, my kids be so if they get corrected out in public, they're going to be like, they're going to listen, trust me. They're going to jump right on their phone and say, my son just said something to me, and I just want to make sure you knew who that was.
Because I remember you said something at Link Up. So I think Erica and I said something to her, and she just looked and was like, yes, ma'am. I'm like, girl, you and your mama talking to you, girl. I do not got time for your mama to slap the mess out of you because you don't show me don't play, girl. Don't be where I am looking crazy. You know your mama don't play, and I do not want to hear. Girl, look here. I tell you, I do not want to see your mama knock the mess out of you because I ain't going to say it. I'm going to sit over here and keep sipping my water. Like I ain't even seen now. You should have been this old. You should never been this old. You know your mama don't play them type of games. You know she don't play them type of games. But it is kids something. But kids, my kids' grandmother always said,
kids need kids like discipline and they like structure. And if they don't have those two things, they will blame you the older they get.
Oh, trust me.
Adults.
Trust me. And
they always
and,
said that.
And kids definitely, we know that kids like structure. People say all the time, oh, my kids get to do what they want to do this and that, but your kid really not, that's not something your kid enjoys, because guess what, when they go to somebody else's house, structure is dinner, we having dinner, we talking, things like that. When they go to a house when they have, and they see structure and they see the stability of a structured home, kids become enraged when they go home, because it's like, why y'all don't do us like this? Why y'all don't love on us like this? Why y'all don't care about our opinion or talk to us like this or want to do this with us? Why we don't do this? Why we don't have dinner?
Yep. They sure do.
So,
and they be looking at them parents.
I remember even doing that to my mom before. And I knew, but my mom had an answer for me. I was like, Mother, why we never? It's a lot of us, you know. So I was like, we only had a table that was for six people. And I used to say, well, we'll sit down and have dinner together. You know, just questions. Or, Mommy, or because of the type of job she had, Mom, why you don't get dressed up like these other parents do? I don't ever see you look like as a woman. And my mom explained to me, like, you know, but when I get off work, I'm tired. I'm going to come home. I'm going to take my bath. I'm going to get relaxed. So if I'm going somewhere, that's probably going to be the only time you see me getting dressed up or do anything. Just that simple. But she explained it. She didn't just let me walk away with me having my own perception.
And gave you a better understanding.
Yep.
Why she knew what she do.
Correct.
You got to have that open dialogue with your kids. You really do.
You really do.
You got to have that open dialogue with them. But trust me, when they get older, boy, look here. Even to this day, me and my brother, we could be at my mom's house and be talking about stuff, and she'd be like, y'all did what? Like, yeah, that we did. We did. We did. Bad. Like, yeah, Mom, we knew not to let you know. But me and my brother just had that. We wouldn't tell. We was always together, and we never told on each other. It didn't matter what we did. We did not tell on.
That's good.
And that was something that I had to actually, like, explain to Rashad and Zoe, the older and older that they got, because Rashad would say stuff and try to tell on Zoe, and I had to just tell him. Then my mom and my stepdad did the same thing, too. Like, nah, man, like, you know, that's your sister. You keep all your sister's secrets. You don't tell nobody nothing. Now, she out there doing drugs, alcohol, something like that. You know she ain't got no business doing. Now, that might be something you might want to tell if you just know she's doing bad and you know you need us to come intervene. But other than that, y'all keep each other's secrets. Y'all, you know, your sibling is your best. I would say your sibling is your best friend. That's
your first one anyway, your
anybody.
First best friend. And then most
and
of
the
time,
you'll be
forever best friend.
Forever. It's weird, though, to see some people that have siblings that's not close, though. That's weird to me.
But I've seen that. I'm not as close to all my siblings. Even we grew up in the house together. I'm not as close to all of them because of our age gaps and stuff. But I have a good relationship with all of them. And, but I can sense that because you got some growing up can be difficult in houses where parents treat kids differently.
That's true.
You know, like, yes, we know that kids are different and have to be loved differently. And, but that shouldn't shorten just, you know, one kid getting less of and the other kid get more of because that tends to happen. And kids walk away with so much anger and hatred for their parents because they're like, oh, my God, you chose the other one over me or you did more for this kid than you did for me. I ain't get this. You know, and that's why some of them crazy end up killing their parents. So it's crazy to me. I've seen it, though. I've seen where people have ill intentions toward their siblings and their parents. Because of how they were raised, or lack of raising, shall I say?
It's crazy because even my dad, he was
he was surprised when he realized that me and Steve, my other three siblings, they have the same mom. And me and my brother Jerome here, we have the same mom. So we all got the same dad. But he was very surprised to see how close all five of us was and how we communicate with one another. But it was my mom and their mom and my dad's young baby sister that made sure that we had that relationship with one another. Even once we moved to Tallahassee, we still, like, when it came for me, time for me to graduate from high school, like, my two older sisters, they came, like, and I talk to my older sister more than I talk to my other sister, Mahogany.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it's like that, but me and my older sister, like, we just got so much in common. I mean, so much in common. And me and her could just sit on the phone and talk for hours and talk about it. Raising term to marriage, you know, God. I mean, we just had it. But my sister Mahogany, when I see her face to face, it's like that's how me and her is face to face. But on the phone, we really don't have. But face to face, it's totally different. But my dad was he was shocked, like he couldn't believe he said it, like I cannot believe that my children, if I didn't know. I would think that y'all all grew up in the same house together.
And that's good.
So it was, you know, and siblings have their little few. Me and my sister them then got into a little something that they was real mad at me. And they called my mom, but my mom had to explain to them, like, y'all got to realize Candace came to Tallahassee with nobody. It's like all she was used to having y'all, her cousins and all that. When she came to Tallahassee, she had to make new friendships, and these people that she became friends with, them like her sisters. So the situation wasn't like I was trying to be standoffish from them when they came, but it was just like, these are my friends as well. And I really didn't know, like, because my sister, them, I never really went out and hung out with them like that. Like, we was always, when we was together, we was at one of their houses hanging out, not like out with other people hanging out. So it was something, and it was, it helped me realize, like, these my sisters. Like,
yeah,
I see my
because
friends all the time.
Friends come and go.
Yeah.
And I learned that a long time ago as well, that you're going to go out of friends, even though y'all could be long-term friends. But when siblings come around, it's, you know, that's kind of who it's about. They require the same love and attention that you're giving everybody else. So,
yeah, it's something,
and that's the reality of it. You know, we like you said, you knew your mom said that you had to kind of get readapted to where you moved to, and that made you understand that you can survive without people. But then again, you still got the opportunity to remember that you still got people. You ain't on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's
so helpful. That's the good thing about siblings. Regardless of everything, your siblings care just as much as you do.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Not I'm happy that I got siblings. I always tell people I'm so happy that I ain't the only child. I hear people sometimes like, "Ooh, I wish I was the only child." No, you do not wish you was the only child. And I'd been in the house by myself when my brother moved with my I'd have been in the house by myself twice. My brother stayed in Polk County one school year with my grandma and my aunt them. And then one year he ended up going to stay with our dad one year. So I was the only child in the house. And I can't even really say the first time because I had some of my older cousins was in and out the house with too. But that last time that I can recall, it was boring as hell. Like, I ain't had nobody to argue with. Talk to, none like that. I didn't have to worry about arguing over the phone. It was so boring because I was so used to me and my brother being there in the house together.
Correct.
And it was boring, so I had to be over to everybody else. I'd go to my other house, Francois' house, different people's houses like that because I was just bored sitting home because I didn't have
my brother wasn't there. Luckily that I grew up in the neighborhood that I did, that all of us in that neighborhood was around the same age, and we were able to just go sit at each other's house like we lived there too, like it wasn't nothing. Having that, I'm happy that I got.
That was a good community family.
Oh, yeah, like all of us. Till this day, I have to laugh because out of all those girls that I grew up with, Maeda, Linnell, Janet, Aaron, all of them, people till this day think all of us are still some kin. Francois, all of us, they like, y'all, all y'all cousins? Because people thought we was cousins when we got to middle school. So we were just like, yeah, we cousins. So we just got tired of explaining, no, we just live in the neighborhood and just friends, been knowing each other since elementary school. We just got tired of explaining. We were just like, yeah, we cousins. And to this day, it's still people think that we are actually cousins.
That's a good thing, though.
We ain't cousins, but we still, we friends. Like,
correct.
No, we weren't really cousins, but we friends. But, yeah, I can say we over there in Rockbrook, it was a lot of kids over there, a lot of kids. And our parents, the parents over there became friends because of us kids.
Because of y'all. Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. of all of us kids. So I can honestly say, like, that neighborhood, that is not the same as it was when we was growing up, but it was like all of us became, and every at least majority of us over there originally weren't from Tallahassee. At least the parents originally wasn't from Tallahassee. They was from either, like, some of them was from Tampa or out there, like, the country. Mickey Sookie grew up out that way, or Havana, or, you know, but not originally from Tallahassee. So we really did, other places, we really did make the people in the neighborhood like our family. But I wish I wish neighborhoods was like that now, though. I wish neighborhoods
Yeah, that
was
would
like
be
good. Yeah, because, like, we all ate. So we at somebody's house, they got enough, they feed all of us.
That's how it was in my neighborhood growing up. It was wonderful.
So, you know, it's you got to be kind of skeptical. Now, parents were probably skeptical then, but I think now people are more skeptical because they really don't know what people got going on.
Mm-hmm.
These days, you see that strange dude, you just like, no. No, don't even let my child go over there. No, I ain't let my child go over there. No, at all. As Rashad said, one of his friends wanted to go to the mall, so his mom was like, he couldn't go to the mall. And his mom asked him to ask Rashad, well, why you can't go to Rashad's house? This is my child. And it was funny because he was like, that won't work there. That won't work, him coming to our house. So I say, Rashad, well, why you said that? He was like, because the COVID out here, Ma, and if he come home, we don't know if we asymptomatic or not. He come over here, he go back home sick, then he'll be saying he's sick because he then came to our house, and that don't look good on us. I couldn't do nothing but laugh. My child is out of all the scenarios. Why? You know, most kids that age would be like, yeah, mama, let me ask my mama, yeah, that'll be cool for you to come. But my child was like, nah, that won't work. That won't work.
That's hilarious.
And I was just like, wow. But, hey, you know, your children also know you, too, though.
They do. They know you. They know you more than you know yourself sometimes, because they pay so much attention to you, just like we pay so much attention to them. And that's another thing that a good, you know, ideology is the perception versus reality. We always think that our kids, we're more in tune with our children. They just as in tune with us.
And that's so true.
So, Queen, what you want to say to wrap the show up for? What you got for them today?
Y'all, look here. It's a new, going into the fall. Still use wisdom, y'all, when y'all out here in these streets. Just wear your mask. Some people say the mask thing is overrated, but personally to me, I don't think it's overrated. It's for your protection, the protection of others. They even talking about wearing the goggles and stuff. I wear glasses, so if you be doing all that spitting when you're talking, it's just going to hit my glasses. So, But, man, look, use wisdom, be careful, be safe, because there's a lot of stuff going on out here, especially with these
these young kids and these shootings and killings and stuff. Like Tallahassee, I just never thought that I would be living in a city every week, every so many days is somebody up under the age 30 or up under the age 25 that's getting killed or doing the killing. It is, it's a lot. It's a lot. Because now we're getting into this generation where my children know these kids that's actually either then committed these murders or either the child that then got murdered. And that's scary. That's really scary. So, you know, stay prayed up. Be. Because once this whole pandemic is over, the light is bright on the other
side. And that's with any battle, whatever battles and things
that's
you may be.
And you may be going through, you always got to know it's always a better outcome at the end. Always going to be a better outcome at the end. Through any pandemic, if you go back and read your Bible and you know all, you are all, it's always, stuff always change. But greater is always right around the corner, and that's just what I believe, and that's just what I stand on to keep me going through this whole pandemic thing. And look, I'm still alive, still able to see my kids, still see smiles on their faces and making me laugh. So take that into consideration as well, especially if you got kids that's growing up, and it's amazing to see these kids, your child being a teenager or a young adult. So you didn't watch this child grow from this infant that was this babe, this infant in your belly, to this young adult or this teenage kid. To me, that is amazing. If that don't put a smile on your face, and a mature, respectful, well-mannered kid, if that don't put a smile on your face as a parent, I just don't know what to tell you. Because that put a smile on my face, even to see my friends' kids and their lives and where they are actually going with themselves as well. Just stay positive and look at the bright side. Look at your children. Look at your children. And that should put a smile on your face every morning you get up, knowing that your child is still alive and you're able to still see that smile that they give you. Hear that voice or hear laughter from that child. So, you know, be safe, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate y'all. We appreciate y'all. We appreciate y'all. So that's it for me, Queen.
So on that note, piggybacking off the Queen, make sure you all continue, as she said, make sure you all continue to stay safe out here. And make sure you are doing everything in your power to control what you have control over. Don't allow others to make decisions for you. Things that are happening for you are happening for you, and there's a reason for that. So stay focused, stay encouraged, keep your head up, and we'll catch y'all next week. Enjoy the rest of y'all Wednesday. Thank y'all for tuning in. We like you. We love you. Peace.
Peace.
All right, cool.